Service. I'm going to be preaching that direction. If you open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, it might seem like a strange book to you to go to talk about mothers, but if you'll check it out, there's a tremendous amount of honor and respect and comparison and warning in the book of Proverbs concerning mothers, women in general. Proverbs chapter 4. Mother's Day should bring back a lot of precious memories to us, sweet memories. It certainly does with me, and been thinking about it quite a bit. We all wish we could go back and maybe take away some of the heartbreak we may have brought mothers, but we got a lot of fond memories, and I know every mother's not the same as maybe I had or you had, but I do have precious memories of mother. She was overprotective. She thought my brother and I were little china dolls that if anything bumped us, we'd break. Some things I remember I can chuckle about. The kinfolk would come over to visit sometime when we were just little. I mean, even before first grade and sometime after that. And they'd see rags tied to the corners of the sharp edges of the furniture. That was back before duct tape. She could have really used some duct tape, but she didn't have it. So she'd tie these rags. Now, the theory was that if we were playing and we run and bumped our head, it was going to cushion the bump. Maybe it did a few times. I don't know. And I remember the kin folks joking with her that those boys need to get roughed up a little bit. They'll never grow up. They'll not be tough if you don't. Well, we grew up somehow. But even after I was older, married. In fact, I was already in the ministry, pastoring up at the Sumter County Church, Gant Lake area. And sometime if I were had driven down south and was coming back late at night, mother and daddy lived here in town, and I'd stop and spend the night and going home the next morning. I did it to see my parents and all that, but at that time, I'd go in the same old bedroom, sleep on the same bed, and somewhere in the middle of the night, 1, 2 a.m., I'd feel a hand on my forehead. She was checking to see if I had a fever, just like she did when I was a kid. And I'd never pretend. I mean, it'd wake me up. I sleep pretty light. It'd wake me up, but I wouldn't say anything. I'd keep my eyes shut. I knew what mama was doing. She was checking out her baby. And I got a lot of precious memories, and I'm sure you have too. Proverbs chapter 4, let's read about a dozen verses here. Hope you open your Bible and look with me. In fact, I'm going to try to stay in Proverbs a little bit this morning. Hope you'll look at a few verses with me. It says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." You say, "Preacher, it's mama's day, not daddy's day." Yeah, but the father here is fixing to give the son some instruction. That includes instruction concerning his mother also. It says, "For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom and understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth, forsake her not." I want you to notice the interest here, how that all of a sudden wisdom becomes personified. And you're going to pick up on the word her, you're going to pick up on the word she as we read. "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth, forsake her not," wisdom. "And she shall preserve thee," wisdom. What he's describing here is the mother that are these things, the wise mother. "Love her and she shall keep thee." Wisdom is the principal thing. "Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my saying, and the years of my life, of thy life, shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. And as we go through the book of Proverbs, we understand what Solomon the writer here is doing. And he is saying he is personifying wisdom in a feminine gender. He's given us the idea here. And throughout the book, including the very ending of it, you'll find how that Solomon, God through Solomon, honors womanhood. Now, we live in a day and time when motherhood is under attack. Don't kid yourself, it's under big attack today. One of the ladies shared with me yesterday, I didn't see it on TV, but she said it was a commercial for a big, well-known bank that was advertising, we are futuristic. And so apparently in the bank lobby, I didn't see it, but the way the lady explained it, she said she rerun it twice so she would get it right for sure. She said two women walked into the lobby of whatever it was, a children's home or whatever, and there was a pretty little girl sitting there, and the women apparently couldn't speak and they were doing sign language back and forth. And the message was this to the little girl sitting there. It was a bank advertisement now. The message to the little girl sitting there was, you're very beautiful, and we are now your two mummies. Two mummies. Two homosexuals. Two lesbians adopting a kid. And the bank says, this is our future. We're going to be a modernistic bank. This is our future. That's an attack on motherhood right there. That's exactly what that is. We look around today and we see the gender lies. I've joked about it through the years, but brother, it's not a joking thing no more. I've talked to you, you go down the road and around Haines City, you can do this pretty easy. You can hit a manhole and your car bump, right? Well, it's politically incorrect to call it a manhole. It's a person hole. That's the political correctness. That's where we've moved to, how pitiful it is. We looked at the Hollywood stereotypes, and I want to say this. Hollywood glorifies sin, and our young people buy into that fantasy world, and what they don't know, it's a serpent that's going to bite them and destroy their lives down the road. It's too bad. But let me say this. While they glorify sin, sin is always bad on anybody, but it looks worse on a woman. I've seen drunk men, and I've seen a few drunk women, and it just looks worse on the woman. I remember I'd been to the hospital one time in Winter Haven. I was coming back toward Lake Alfred. I don't know if it's still there, but there was a bar on the right if you're coming out of Winter Haven, one of them leap-in, limp-out joints. And little old bridge there. That time, I believe it was still a two-lane road. I'm not sure. It's a four-lane now, and they've probably remodeled things. But two women come out of the bar, got in the car. I'm a quarter mile away as I saw them do it. Got in the car, and just so drunk, they run the car into the creek, into the canal where the bridge was instead of crossing the bridge. Well, cars began to stop. They thought they'd seen a wreck. I stopped also for a minute. Those two women crawled out of the car in the mud, drunk as they could be, and tried to finally they got up, climbed up the mud bank and sat there side the car. They could hardly sit up, they were so drunk. Now, that was a hideous scene, a terrible thing. It'd have been bad enough had it been men, but it just looks worse. And that's where we've move to today now, to where that sort of stuff is glorified on TV. Everything you see, it's not motherhood, it's Harlotwood that's doing this sort of thing. And women that ought to be taking care of themselves, to be in God's plan, to get married and to have children and to be the mother God wants them to be, have been sold a bill of goods that's running their life. It's too bad, but it's true. Now, the Bible, unlike Islam, the Bible elevates women. The truth of the matter is, anywhere this book, the gospel of Christ has been preached, womanhood has been elevated. Civilization has followed this book wherever the missionary took it. And you see that around the world. You see false religions like Islam that mistreats women every kind of way. And as that thing makes an inroad into America, it makes me sick. I see those women, the only thing you can see is their eyes. They can't drive cars. They're not supposed to get an education and all that kind of business. And yet we've got it pushed from Washington, D.C. on down that we're supposed to accept that stuff. And that's so wrong, so wrong. The Bible, Jesus, elevates women, puts them on a pedestal compared to what false religions, of course, do out there. Now, much is found here in the Proverbs that about women, about womanhood. And I want you to notice, women, I'm going to slow up a little bit and read a few verses to you right now. In Proverbs 4:1, this is a father to a son. And he's basically pointing out through the book, he points out a lot about women, and he points to mothers. Now, every dad, every husband, every man ought to see the woman as the weaker vessel. You know, there used to be a time you opened the door for women. There used to be a time and when men would be talking and talking rough and bad, and a woman walk up and somebody would say, "Be careful, there's a woman present." You ever hear that? Not anymore. Not anymore. That's a sad state of affairs we move to. But dads, husbands, you ought to elevate mother to your kids. Amen. Kids ought not be able to sass mother. Amen. They ought not be able to talk down to her. Disobey her. The husband ought to be the force behind making them do right. Amen. And you say, "Didn't you have trouble with that?" I sure did. My dad took care of it. Took care of it real good. I remember him telling me the story that when he was just a little boy on the farm, big old farm, he said, "I got a little bit older," said, "I got up in first or second grade," whatever it was, and he said, "It dawned on me I could probably outrun mother." So he said, "In one particular day, I remember she got after me and had a switch." That used to be legal, kids. Bad day when it became illegal. And he said, "She got fixing to get me. I'd done something wrong." He said, "I just took off and run." He said, "I could hear her calling me, but I hid in the corner of the fence." He said, "All of a sudden, I saw a shadow come across. And then," he said, "I saw a big hand come down and jerk me out of that fence corner." He said, "When Daddy got through with me, I decided never run from mother again. It's much worse when he gets me than when she gets me." And it ought to be that way. It ought to be that way. And it's the right thing to do. Now here, wisdom is personified in verse 5 and 6, the her, the she. Now the liberals want to call wisdom here in the book of Proverbs by a proper name called Sophia. Sophia was a pagan goddess. So far from what the Bible has to say. Now, that's the liberalism today. They had a pagan meeting in Lake Wales just recently. And paganism in America is a growing thing, just like Islam is, Sharia law, and all that junk. But Proverbs here is comparing wisdom to a young man's greatest need. Now, if you're a red-blooded young American man, it's right for you to desire, here we go, desire a woman, but a woman in marriage. That's God's plan. And it's not two men, it's not two women, it's a man wanting to get married, and Solomon wants his son to marry the right one because he sees that is very, very important. And God is comparing wisdom here, the her, the she, to the young man's greatest need. Now, all parents want their kids to marry right. Marry well, boy. It can. Somebody says marriage is made in heaven, some made in hell too. You know, marry well and stay married and raise a family and raise a family for the Lord. That's his plan. That's what he wants done. Now, and by the way, you ought to be on the same page. Saved ought to look for somebody that's saved to get married, not the unsaved. You ought to have the least differences possible. I suggest be very extreme. Pick one as near as you can that you can have harmony with. Don't have, if your girlfriend and you're fussing all the time, don't get married. That's not going to help a thing. It's going to get worse. Anyway, I heard about the young man, his friend said, I heard you got divorced. You split up. He said, yeah. He said, why? He said, religious reasons. He said, how was that? He said, well, she worshiped the money and I didn't have enough. Now, there's some truth to that, amen. But all parents want their kids to marry well, and Solomon here was giving his sons, he was giving anybody that would heed, he was giving them good advice. And young people, if don't look for a partner in a bar and expect to have a happy marriage. Come to church. If somebody will not come to God's house, you ought to be suspicious something's wrong to start with. I don't care if they say they're saved and a Christian or not. You judge the tree by the fruit it bears, brother. If they don't love the Lord enough to come to his house, you might be fixing to get yoked up in an unequal yoke the Bible warns about if you're not careful. And as a pastor, I've seen so much of that. But see, I'm looking here in Proverbs again. Look at verse 8. Wisdom is embraced here in verse 8. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring to honor when thou dost embrace her. And Solomon's comparing this wisdom here, as it were, to a female, or compared to a good wife in verse 9. It says, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. That's the right kind of woman. The wrong one will give you a crown. Somebody said, whether a man winds up with a nest egg or a hen egg depends on what chick he's married. Get the right one is so good. Get the wrong one is so bad. And that's what the book of Proverbs is making a comparison about. You move on down here. Solomon's purpose here is to keep his son from the strange woman. Now, the word strange means a little different to us today, but it means the foreign one that's an idol worshiper, that's not the true God, that's not right. And the Jews were instructed in so many ways to stay pure in their lineage, in their race, in their families. You remember how Abraham had to send way off to get a bride for Isaac? By the way, some of us be better to send way off now. All joking aside, it was important. It was important. It's still important today. Look at it here in chapter 7 and verse 5 of Proverbs. It sets the thing here, verse 5, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Now, young men, you ought to listen to this. It's not as exciting as telling you who the Antichrist is, but it'll have more to do with your lives now. If you practice some of the wisdom that Solomon is trying to give here in the book of Proverbs concerning one of the most important steps in your life, and young ladies also. Two women are talked about in the book of Proverbs. They're compared, and they're polar opposites. One is good, one is evil. As you go through the whole book of Proverbs, you make those two comparisons, and the verses will identify. For instance, look here in chapter 12 and verse 4. Come to church, don't mind using your Bible, amen? Amen? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Now that's two tracks, one way or the other. Can be the greatest blessing, can be the worst curse. Two women are identified in the book of Proverbs. Look at chapter 9. And verse 13, and look at the evil side. Picking it up in verse 13, Proverbs chapter 9. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. Ever met any of those? Amen. For she sitteth at the door of her house, on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their ways. Now watch this, young men especially. Verse 16. Whoso is simple, that means dumb, ignorant, naive, all the words you could put to it. Whosoever is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, in other words, he's a brick short of a load. His elevator don't go to the top. He wanteth understanding. Short few pieces on the Happy Meal. simple, that wanteth understanding. She saith to him, and hear it good, here it is. She saith unto him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Nobody will know about this. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Hey, this is talking about the fallen woman, the sinful woman, the painted up hussy that sells her body, seduces men, attracts them, and it's still big business today. And you see it on the TV and everywhere else, but trouble is now, it's glamorized. It's pushed up as being the great thing. Oh no, it's the devil trick. Oh, I wish I had time to play with it some. How many of you know what a chameleon, a lizard is? Would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand? I'm not talking about the gecko lizard that advertises the insurance, whatever you call him. But I'm talking about a real one, like around my house and yours. Did you ever watch one of them crawl up on a bush and open his mouth? And he's got something looks like a little old strawberry. And he gets real still. He don't move. What's he trying to do? He's trying to entice a fly to come to that thing that looks like it might be a sweet strawberry. And flies do that, don't they? And they are gone. You understand what the devil does? He traps you the same way. He sets bait out there the same way. And oh, how many go after it? How many they fool with it? You see, the Bible's talking about the good woman, the bad woman here. Polar opposites. Now the Bible, you can find characters in the Bible that fit both of these. How about Jezebel? Didn't she mess up King Ahab? Didn't she mess up the whole nation of Israel? Old preachers used to preach, as the women go, so goes the nation. That used to be a statement. Boy, that would be discriminatory now. That would not be politically correct now. They used to say the hand that rocks the cradle rules the nation. Used to be old preacher statements. Well, I got news for you. We're seeing the truth of that. We're seeing nations bite the dust, go into trouble and everything else. And the Bible tells you about a Jezebel that was a curse on Israel, but then it tells you about a good woman. How about Queen Esther that saved the nation of Israel? You got one over here, you got one over here. Nothing's changed. Which one are you going to choose? That's the thing that counts. Proverbs presents a parallel of opposites. Still true today. I have, and you have, seen men go crazy over both. Good women and bad women. I could tell you some stories if I had time. I remember a fairly young man that his mother called me, said his wife is cheating on him and threatening to leave him, and he's about to die, and just can't stand it. So I went to his house. I found out he was unsaved. I told him about Jesus. I took the Bible. I showed him how he could be saved. I tried to talk to her too. He did get saved, but she wouldn't. I knew right then, you didn't have to tell me, she already had a boyfriend. She was already cheating big on him. In his heart, I'm sure he knew it. So I came back, saw him again, and sure enough, she'd run off with another guy. And he started threatening to kill himself. I said, look, man, you kill yourself, and she won't even attend your funeral. Well, his mother sent him off somewhere to get some, quote, professional help. He'd already got the most help he could get, and that was from the Word of God and Jesus. She sent him off to get some professional help. He got over there in a room by himself, and somehow he got a hold of a shotgun, and he blew his head off. Of course, I got called to do the funeral, and that so-called wife didn't even show up. Just exactly like I said. I'm talking about the worst of the worst kind of situation. I've seen men just go nuts wrongly. Listen, fellas, you say, well, she is so pretty. How pretty is she on the inside? Who does she know on the inside? Does she know Jesus? Has she been born again? Did she want to do right? Oh, I wish young men would pay attention to the Bible, and young women. Let me say something to you girls. I know it's Mother's Day, and one day you may be a mother. The truth of the matter is, if he won't get right with the Lord, you need to get your distance from him. Say, well, he said he'd come to church. Uh-huh. Let him prove it. First, prove faithful, not just come to catch him a girl. How many boys have we seen try to do that? Amen. No, the two here. Get the right one, life of joy. Get the wrong one, live in hell. You see, a good mother, every mother wants to raise her children right. Set the right value. Somebody said, as the twig is bent, so grows the tree. And a lot of truth to that. Every good mother wants to raise her children right. Proverbs here talks about the good mother. It ends the book with the classic, chapter 31 of Proverbs. Who can find the virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. In all of literature, nothing is written any better than the last chapter of this book of Proverbs, honoring the good mother. It was written by a king speaking of his mother and to his mother. And even for those that are unsaved, wouldn't even claim to be Christians, this chapter 31 of Proverbs is elevated at the top of classic literature having to do with motherhood. And rightfully so. You see, it's by women that we know a lot about the gospel. It was Mother Eve in the garden that took of the forbidden fruit and gave to her husband, and he did eat, the scripture says. And man's fall into a sinful nature begun right there, and you can't explain good and evil no other way. But you know, also in that same story of Genesis, in Genesis 3, verse 15, God shows up in the cool of the day. He calls him out of the bushes, and he says, Adam, what hast thou done? Where art thou? What hast thou done? And he gets the story God already knew, but he was getting them to confess, no doubt about it. But then he makes a promise in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. He says this. He says, I'm going to send a woman's seed that's going to bruise the serpent's head. That woman's seed was Jesus Christ. He was the virgin born Son of God, and it was a woman's seed in Christ that bruised the head of Satan. You see, in the gospel itself, it was women that first came to the empty tomb. It was women that the Lord Jesus used so much in the New Testament. And truthfully today, it's a big majority of women that often keeps a lot of churches going. And I thank God for that. But I want to say this, that gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus came as the woman seed. Heavenly Father, God, the woman seed of the Virgin Mary, he lived a perfect life. He laid down that life on the cross. He became the payment for our sins and the sacrifice for our sins. And you see, in a real sense, when he arose from the grave, and even more so when he comes back, he's bruising, he's destroying the devil. He's bruising his head. I want to say to you today, be thankful for a good mother. Be thankful for the part that a woman plays in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Bible. And if you're a kid today, honoring your mother ought to be it's good to send a card, it's good to give flowers, but it goes a little further than that. You ought to be thankful for them. And I say to a lot of young men today, fooling around with false religions, get back to your mother's God. Get back to your mother's advice. Oh, how that's needed, a godly mother's advice today, and a mother's prayers for a wayward son. So many stories we could tell you about that. The difference in a man turning out right and wrong, often has to do with his mother. Even the psychiatrists make a lot off of putting somebody on the couch and finding out what their relation with mother was. Truth is, mothers, you have a great responsibility when God gives you children. Great responsibility. You need to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord so they can turn out right. I remember one time, and I can't give you enough details probably. I remember as a little boy, we didn't have a TV. We had a radio that would play some, sometime it didn't. Radio programs. Of course, I was faithful to watch The Lone Ranger, you know that. But there were some other programs that come on later at night. And sometime I'd hear one of them. I'm trying to remember. One of them might have been called The Squeaking Door or Inner Sanctum or I don't know what. Several different, some of them were dramatic things, and as a young boy, you didn't listen to that too much. But I remember one night sitting in that house behind the hotel where I was from the 6th grade through the 12th grade, and the old radio on in the room, and nobody else in the front room there but me, just sitting on the couch in the dark, just listening. See, your TV was your imagination. You kind of saw what was going on the radio in pictures that you would imagine. That's the way you did it. And I was doing that one night. I can't remember. It was one of those dramatic programs, what it was called. But The Shatter Knows or what, I don't know. Some of them old programs. And the story started out in a hospital or a doctor's office. And a mother has brought a young baby back to the doctor that's very sick, a baby boy. And she's sitting there for a long time in the waiting room, waiting for the doctor's report whether the child's going to live or not. And then in the program, they twisted it around where apparently she nodded off. And in her dream she began to have, she saw that baby grow up to a young boy and a teenager. And finally a little older, his 20s. And in that dream, it pictured the story. He was a bad boy. He got in lots of trouble. She pled with him to be right, but he wouldn't get right. And finally, he did the awful thing, and he committed murder. And they had him in jail, waiting his execution. And she now is sitting, not in the doctor's room, but in a room outside the jail. And she's sitting there waiting for her son to be executed. And all of a sudden she hears the warden talking to her. And she awakes and realizes it's not the warden. She's still in the doctor's office. She's been dreaming. This baby has grown up, turned out bad, and is now fixing to be executed. And she wakes, and it's the doctor coming. And the doctor is shaking his head, and he's saying, "I'm sorry, mother. I couldn't save the baby." And the doctor was expecting her to do what you would expect, scream and holler. But she looked at the doctor and she said something like this. She said, "Okay, doctor, maybe it's the Lord's will." And the doctor was highly surprised at her reaction. But God had shown her ahead of time what that boy was going to be. And in her mind, she thought, if that's the way he was going to wind up, maybe it's better this way. I never forgot that, sitting there listening to that radio program. The truth of the matter is, a lot of you here today, you're going to turn out one way or the other, depending on whether you listen to the wisdom, and maybe listen to the wisdom God gave your mother to give to you. I wonder today how many of you would say, "Oh, I wish I had listened to mother. Oh, I wish I had let her guide my life, but I didn't." I suspect in our precious memories, there's some other memories that flood in there also. many of them in Radio Land or here in this room.